Second Samuel chapter 19. It was told Joab, "The king is weeping and mourning for Absalom." So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the troops, for the troops heard that day, "The king is grieving for his son." The troops stole into the city that day as soldiers steal in who are ashamed when they flee in battle. The king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom! O Absalom, my son, my son!" Then Joab came into the house of the king and said, "Today you have covered with shame the faces of all your officers who have saved your life today, and the lives of your sons and your daughters, and the lives of your wives and your concubines, for love of those who hate you and for hatred of those who love you. You have made it clear today that commanders and officers are nothing to you. For I perceive that if Absalom were alive, and all of us were dead today, then you would be pleased. So go out at once and speak kindly to your servants, for I swear by the Lord, if you do not go, not a man will stay with you this night, and this will be worse for you than any disaster that has come upon you from your youth until now." Then the king got up and took his seat in the gate. The troops were all told, "See, the king is sitting in the gate," and all the troops came before the king. Meanwhile, all the Israelites had fled to their homes. All the people were disputing throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies and saved us from the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled out of the land because of Absalom. But Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing the king back?" King David sent this message to the priests Zadok and Abiathar, "Say to the elders of Judah, why should you be the last to bring the king back to his house? The talk of all Israel has come to the king. You are my kin, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? So may God do to me and more, if you are not the commander of my army from now on in place of Joab." Amasa swayed the hearts of all the people of Judah as one, and they sent word to the king, "Return, both you and all your servants." So the king came back to the Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to meet the king and to bring him over the Jordan. Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjaminite from Bahurim, hurried to come down with the people of Judah to meet King David. With him were 1,000 people from Benjamin. And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, with his 15 sons and his 20 servants, rushed down to the Jordan ahead of the king, while the crossing was taking place, to bring over the king's household and to do his pleasure. Shimei, son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was about to cross the Jordan, and said to the king, "May my lord not hold me guilty, or remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king not bear it in mind. For your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, see, I have come this day, the first of all the house of Joseph, to come down to meet my lord the king." Abishai, son of Zeruiah, answered, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" But David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should today become an adversary to me? Shall anyone be put to death in Israel this day? For do I know that I am this day king over Israel?" The king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king gave him his oath. Mephibosheth, grandson of Saul, came down to meet the king. He had not taken care of his feet, or trimmed his beard, or washed his clothes, from the day the king left until the day he came back in safety. When he came from Jerusalem to meet the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" He answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said to him, 'Saddle a donkey for me, so that I may ride on it and go with the king,' for your servant is lame. He has slandered your servant to my lord the king, but my lord the king is like the angel of God. Do therefore what seems good to you, for all my father's house were doomed to death before my lord the king, but you set your servant among those who eat at your table. What further right have I, then, to appeal to the king?" The king said to him, "Why speak any more of your affairs? I have decided, you and Ziba shall divide the land." Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him take it all, since my lord the king has arrived home safely. Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogelim. He went on with the king to the Jordan to escort him over the Jordan. Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. He had provided the king with food while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. The king said to Barzillai, "Come over with me, and I will provide for you in Jerusalem at my side." But Barzillai said to the king, "How many years have I still to live, that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? Today I am 80 years old. Can I discern what is pleasant and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? Can I still listen to the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Please let your servant return, so that I may die in my own town, near the graves of my father and my mother. But here is your servant Chimham. Let him go over with my lord the king, and do for him whatever seems good to you." The king answered, "Chimcham shall go over with me, and I will do for him whatever seems good to you, and all that you desire of me I will do for you." Then all the people crossed over the Jordan, and the king crossed over. The king kissed Barzillai, and blessed him, and he returned to his own home. The king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. All the people of Judah, and also half the people of Israel, brought the king on his way. Then all the people of Israel came to the king and said to him, "Why have our kindred, the people of Judah, stolen you away, and brought the king and his household over the Jordan, and all David's men with him?" All the people of Judah answered the people of Israel, "Because the king is near of kin to us, why then are you angry over this matter? Have we eaten at all at the king's expense, or has he given us any gift?" But the people of Israel answered the people of Judah, "We have 10 shares in the king, and in David also we have more than you. Why then did you despise us? Were we not the first to speak of bringing back our king?" But the words of the people of Judah were fiercer than the words of the people of Israel.
2 Samuel chapter 20. Now a scoundrel named Sheba, son of Bichri, a Benjaminite, happened to be there. He sounded the trumpet and cried out, "We have no portion in David, no share in the son of Jesse. Everyone to your tents, O Israel." So all the people of Israel withdrew from David and followed Sheba, son of Bichri, but the people of Judah followed their king steadfastly from the Jordan to Jerusalem. David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 concubines whom he had left to look after the house, and put them in a house under guard, and provided for them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living as if in widowhood. Then the king said to Amasa, "Call the men of Judah together to me within 3 days, and be here yourself." So Amasa went to summon Judah, and he delayed beyond the set time that had been appointed him. David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba, son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your lord's servants and pursue him, or he will find fortified cities for himself and escape from us." Joab's men went out after him, along with the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and all the warriors. They went out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, son of Bichri. When they were at the large stone that is in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Now Joab was wearing a soldier's garment, and over it was a belt with a sword in its sheath fastened at his waist. As he went forward, it fell out. Joab said to Amasa, "Is it well with you, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not notice the sword in Joab's hand. Joab struck him in the belly so that his entrails poured out on the ground, and he died. He did not strike a second blow. Then Joab and his brother Abishai pursued Sheba son of Bichri, and one of Joab's men took his stand by Amasa, and said, "Whoever favors Joab, and whoever is for David, let him follow Joab." Amasa lay wallowing in his blood on the highway, and the man saw that all the people were stopping. Since he saw that all who came by him were stopping, he carried Amasa from the highway into a field, and threw a garment over him. Once he was removed from the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba son of Bichri. Sheba passed through all the tribes of Israel to Abel of Beth-Maachah, and all the Bichrites assembled and followed him inside. Joab's forces came and besieged him in Abel of Beth-Maachah. They threw up a siege ramp against the city, and it stood against the rampart. Joab's forces were battering the wall to break it down. Then a wise woman called from the city, "Listen, listen, tell Joab, come here, I want to speak to you." He came near her, and the woman said, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Listen to the words of your servant." He answered, "I am listening." Then she said, "They used to say in the old days, let them inquire at Abel, and so they would settle the matter. I am one of those who are peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why will you swallow up the heritage of the Lord?" Joab answered, "Far be it from me, far be it that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not the case. But a man of the hill country of Ephraim, called Sheba, son of Bichri, has lifted up his hand against King David. Give him up alone, and I will withdraw from the city." The woman said to Joab, "His head shall be thrown over the wall to you." Then the woman went to all the people with her wise plan, and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they dispersed from the city, and all went to their homes, while Joab returned to Jerusalem to the king. Now Joab was in command of all the army of Israel. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was in command of the Kerethites and the Pelethites. Adoram was in charge of the forced labor. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the recorder. Sheva was secretary. Zadok and Abiathar were priests. And Ira the Jairite was also David's priest.
2 Samuel chapter 21. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. The Lord said, "There is blood guilt on Saul and on his house, because he put the Gibeonites to death." So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the people of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. Although the people of Israel had sworn to spare them, Saul had tried to wipe them out in his zeal for the people of Israel and Judah. David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? How shall I make expiation, that you may bless the heritage of the Lord?" The Gibeonites said to him, "It is not a matter of silver or gold between us and Saul or his house, neither is it for us to put anyone to death in Israel." He said, "What do you say that I should do for you?" They said to the king, "The man who consumed us and planned to destroy us so that we should have no place in all the territory of Israel, let 7 of his sons be handed over to us, and we will impale them before the Lord at Gibeon on the mountain of the Lord." The king said, "I will hand them over." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Saul's son Jonathan, because of the oath of the Lord that was between them, between David and Jonathan, son of Saul. The king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, whom she bore to Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Merab, daughter of Saul, whom she bore to Adriel, son of Barzillai, the Mahalathite. He gave them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they impaled them on the mountain before the Lord. The 7 of them perished together. They were put to death in the first days of harvest at the beginning of barley harvest. Then Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it on a rock for herself from the beginning of harvest until rain fell on them from the heavens. She did not allow the birds of the air to come on the bodies by day or the wild animals by night. When David was told what Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done, David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of his son Jonathan from the people of Jabesh-Gilead, who had stolen them from the public square of Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hung them up on the day the Philistines killed Saul on Gilboa. He brought up from there the bones of Saul and the bones of his son Jonathan, and they gathered the bones of those who had been impaled. They buried the bones of Saul and of his son Jonathan in the land of Benjamin in Zelah, in the tomb of his father Kish. They did all that the king commanded. After that, God heeded supplications for the land. The Philistines went to war again with Israel, and David went down together with his servants. They fought against the Philistines, and David grew weary.
Ishbi-benob, one of the descendants of the giants, whose spear weighed 300 shekels of bronze, and who was fitted out with new weapons, said he would kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to his aid, and attacked the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, "You shall not go out with us to battle any longer, so that you do not quench the lamp of Israel." After this a battle took place with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai, the Hushathite, killed Saph, who was one of the descendants of the giants. Then there was another battle with the Philistines at Gob, and Elhanan, son of Jaare-Oregim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. There was again war at Gath, where there was a man of great size who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number. He too was descended from the giants. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of David's brother Shimei, killed him. These 4 were descended from the giants in Gath. They fell by the hands of David and his servants.